continue in our faith series. And today we're going to look at the subject of faith acts. Faith takes action. Faith always acts. When you're in faith, there will always be some kind of corresponding action to demonstrate your faith. Now, the action may simply be, in certain circumstances, a confession of your mouth. Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." The action may be, "Thank you, Father. I believe I have my petition now when I pray." See? Faith always has a corresponding action. Look at James chapter 2, please. So sometimes the action can be a confession of your mouth. And for those of you coming in on the 3-4 parts of the teaching, just get the other first 3-4 CDs of this, and you'll be able to follow along easier. Before you come to me and ask me questions, okay? Because the questions will be answered in the first 3 or 4 CDs of this. James chapter 2, verse 14 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" The Wide Mouth translation of James 2:24, Wymouth. "What good is it, my brethren, if a man profess to have faith, and yet his actions do not correspond?" In other words, you say one thing, but you do another thing. You profess to have faith, but his actions do not correspond. Your actions should cooperate. They should correspond. They should cooperate with your faith. Verse 22 says, "See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works faith made perfect." Or by works was faith made perfect. By works was faith made perfect. By works. By man's actions, by his corresponding actions, by his works, faith was made perfect. Was made perfect. The Greek word rendered perfect in verse 22 is teleo. Now, teleo can be translated perfect, but teleo also means complete. It means to carry through completely, to accomplish, to finish, to bring to an end. It means to add what is yet wanting in order to render a thing full. It means to bring to close or fulfillment by event. That's what teleo means. To bring to close or fulfillment by event. It says that man's actions, see it's how that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Man's actions on his faith was what completed and made that faith perfect. In other words, it brought the faith to an end. It brought the faith to the conclusion. It brought the faith to where you were able to receive that from God. But what brought that to perfection, what brought that to completion, was when the individual acts on the Word of God. You see, faith without works, or faith without action, doesn't work. There's another word for what that is, but it's not faith. If you're going to have faith, you have to have corresponding action. You have to take action in order for that faith to be completed, to be perfected. James, again, 2:14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Save him. Can faith save him? It says, what does it profit, my brethren? My brethren. He's talking to brothers and sisters. He's not talking to those outside the fold. He's talking to brethren. You understand? He's talking to believers. Faith without corresponding action won't work even if you're a believer. Okay? Doesn't work on non-believers, and it won't work even if you're a believer. And you know something else? Faith with wrong corresponding action won't work either. Okay? Ever hear that you have to have your need and want parallel? They got to be even. Well, it's the same with faith. Faith and the corresponding action has to be on the same plane. It has to be even. One of the greatest mistakes a believer makes is to confess their faith in God's word and at the same time contradict their confession by their actions. See, they're not parallel. They're not even. They're not in accordance. You're not on the same plane as God. You're not on the same page as God. You say one thing, but you act in a different way. You may have faith and confess and profess that faith, but when you act in opposition to that which you confess, you blow it right out of the water. You don't receive that way. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll give you a simple example. You can't contradict your confession of God's word by your actions. It just doesn't work. 2 Corinthians 9. Now say you want to study the subject of prosperity, and you want to receive God's abundance in your life with regard to this particular subject. This is just one subject. All of the same principles I'm going to show you here will work with any promise of God or any declaration of God. But for sake of illustration, we'll take prosperity. 2 Corinthians 9 says in verse 6, "But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, verse 6 says, he that soweth sparingly. If you're going to have faith in God's word concerning prosperity, then you need to act, because faith without works, faith without action is what?
Dead.
So you can confess the promise of God with regards to abundance in this area of life all you want. And you can say, I'm going to have faith. I read the word of God and I have faith that God's going to supply for me financially. He's going to meet my needs so I can pay my bills. And you can begin down the road with that faith. But faith without action is what? It's dead. It says, he who soweth sparingly, or he which soweth sparingly. You have to sow a faith seed in order for God to multiply that seed and prosper it. That's just the way it works. Would you believe God for an abundant, a prosperous garden if you didn't plant any seeds? Well, that would be silly, wouldn't it? See, that's faith without works. It's dead. It's dead. And there are principles for honoring God with regards to finances in God's word. If you want to be financially provided for by God, then you have to sow a faith seed. What's a faith seed? You take a dollar that you give joyfully, hilariously, cheerfully, and you place that dollar where you believe that God will be able to use it to move his word and to glorify his word and to bless his people. That's how you sow. Now, as you do that, you give something to God now that he can work with. You gave him a seed. God cannot multiply a seed. God cannot grow a seed. God cannot give seed back to you unless you first give him a seed. It's just that simple. It's that simple. See, that's faith with works. And when you have faith, you have the promise of God, you have the works, you sow the seed, then it will come to perfection. It will come to completion because your works will bring it to completion. But if you just have faith and you just want to talk about it and you don't have works, the Bible says faith without works is what? And guess what else is? So is the seed you didn't sow. It's non-existent. If you're going to confess the promise of abundance and don't act, don't sow, then God has nothing to work with to bless you. Faith without works is dead, being alone. It can't be alone. God has no seed to increase if you don't plant. Would you have faith in God to increase the church if you never spoke? Well, no, because you have faith, you hear the word of God. You hear that you're an ambassador. You hear that you have the ability to tell people about Jesus Christ. You hear that Jesus heals, Jesus saves, Jesus does all of these wonderful things. And you have faith in that. But unless you have a corresponding action, unless you have corresponding works, and in this case, remember I said to you earlier, sometimes a corresponding action is simply opening your mouth and confessing. Unless you have the corresponding action of opening your mouth and telling someone about the Lord Jesus Christ, is God going to be able to increase that seed? No, because you don't sow it. There's no works to go along with your faith. So, he can't work. It's not that he can't work. He can't work in that situation with you because you won't work. And that's what it always boils down to. It's not the God that doesn't work. We're the lazy ones. We don't work. And in order to receive from God, we got to work. If we are trusting God for our finances or for any other topic in the Word of God, And at the same time, worrying and fretting how we're going to pay our bills, there's no corresponding action there. You say, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to believe God, and He's going to provide for me. And then the next minute, you're sitting down all anxious and worried about how God's going to provide for you. And you see what the confession of your heart is? The confession of your heart doesn't match the confession of your faith. And when the confession of your heart doesn't match the confession of your faith, you mess things up. Because you got to be in alignment and harmony the two in order to receive from God. If one minute that we confess God's word is true with regards to any subject, and the next minute we repudiate everything we say by our wrong actions, how are we going to receive from God? You see, you can't say out of your mouth the word of God is true by such and such and such and such, and then act completely opposite. Because what you do is you cancel out what you said out of your mouth. Because you got to be in agreement. You got to be in agreement. And when you're not in agreement, God can't work. Not that He can't work, He's not able to in that situation. Because God's here and He requires you to be here. See? You got to get on the same level. You got to get on the same playing field. Remember I told you, if something's not working in your life, you might consider changing. Because God is always right. And we're the ones that might need to consider changing. James 1, verse 22. We can't confess the word of God is true one minute, and then the next minute, you know, repudiate everything we say by our wrong actions. Husband, love your wives. You can't be saying that and say, I believe that and I have faith in that, and then turn around and act a different way. Because your actions contradict the words out of your mouth, and you wonder why you have problems. If you want God's blessing in your life, you got to line them up. Husbands, love your wife. So you know what you do? You act in a loving way towards your wife. Right? The women agree with that anyway. And James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. The word deceive means to delude. As a matter of fact, there are several versions. The American Standard has one who translate James 1:22 as thus. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. Deluding your own selves. There are many self-deluded believers in the church today. They blame their faith failures on the devil. They blame their faith failures on somebody else. They blame their faith failures on something else, when in reality, they have deluded themselves. These self-deluded Christians are not acting on God's word. They are not being a doer of God's word. The actions of a doer of God's word will always coincide with the confession of God's word. See? If you're going to have faith and you're going to confess something, then those actions are going to coincide with that confession. Look at Matthew chapter 7, please. And self-delusion is very hard to get out of, because you think you're right. I think it says somewhere in Matthew 6 that that light in you is darkness, then how great is that darkness? Problem is, you think you're right, and if you hold on to that, you're not going to consider that perhaps you made a mistake. If you don't consider that, then the entrance of God's word is not going to be able to get in there and heal you. You hurt yourself. Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So if you want to be a wise man, the Bible says, very simple, you hear the sayings of Jesus, you hear the word of God, and go home.
No.
Now don't say that. It says, whosoever will hear these sayings of mine, and what? Doeth them. I liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the what? The sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. Doers of God's word withstand the storms of life. Hearers of God's word, talkers of God's word, people who mentally ascend to God's word, are likened to a foolish man who built the house upon the sand. When the storms of life come, their house crumbles because they were not doers of the word. They are not practicing the instruction of the word. In other words, they haven't made the word their own to where they put it into practical application. They haven't built the word in their heart to the end that they act on it. The same storm came to both houses. The only difference was the foundation that the house was built on. The foundation of the rock was likened unto the man who was a doer of the word, he who heareth my words and does them. The foundation of the sand was likened unto a man who was just a hearer of the word. He didn't act. One was destroyed and one wasn't. Because the wise builder was a doer of the word, and the foolish one wasn't. It isn't the storms of life that defeat us. The storms of life would defeat us all, because everybody has storms of life. And the devil, we heard in manifestation today, will make sure that the storms come. Storms are going to come, and that's not what defeats us. Some people face the storms of life that other people face and are not defeated, while others who face those storms are destroyed. Those who are not defeated are those who act on God's word. The defeated ones have not taken the time to build their faith on the solid foundation of God's word and be doers of the word. It may be sickness, financial difficulty, or some other test or trial. But the winds of adversity blow, and the floods may come. But he that is a doer of God's word can hold fast to his confession of faith, and he knows that God cannot fail. He cannot fail. You can't just talk about God. You have to act on God's word if you want to see faith be perfected. If you want to see faith be completed in an area of life, you have to mix corresponding actions with that faith. And if you're not mixing corresponding actions with that faith, you can say whatever you want to say. You can attend any church in the world. You can read as much as you want. But for you, you will never realize the joy of receiving from God because you don't put yourself in a position to do what the word asks of you to do. Finances, sickness, mental health problems, stress, forgiveness. See, you're never going to receive peace. See, this is what people don't understand about forgiveness. You're never going to receive peace in your life until you learn how to forgive. Forgiveness is for you. It's not for the other person. It's for you. And people hold on to things and hold on to them and hold on to them, and they suffer all their life long. They suffer. And they think that they're punishing the individual that they're mad at. They're not punishing anybody but themselves. In order to receive forgiveness, you just can't read about forgiveness, Matthew 18. Everybody knows that. Peter said, how many times? 7 times 70. We make jokes out of it, right? Okay, well, that's part of it. But faith without works is what? If you're going to have faith in that section of Scripture, then you got to be able to apply it. Then you'll be able to receive the blessing of that. It works with finances. It works with marriage. It works with forgiveness. It works with anger. Some people are just angry, all the time angry. And then they turn around and they talk about peace, and they talk about Thanksgiving, and they talk to, well, you know, you can talk about whatever you want, but if you don't mix works with that talk, you're not going to receive that into your life. So what have we seen this morning? We saw that faith always acts. And we saw that when you're in faith, there will always be some kind of corresponding action to demonstrate your faith. Remember, it says the tiles were kicked off the roof, and then the scripture says Jesus, what? He saw their faith. He saw. Well, you can't see faith. Faith is invisible. But he saw, what he saw was a demonstration of their faith. The demonstration was they had to call a roofer. Well, and we saw that the action sometimes may simply be a confession of your mouth. You read the Word of God. You know, we do this with sickness especially. By His stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 1:24, right? We see that. And then we're challenged with sickness, right? And what's the action in that particular case? We what? Confess it. And then we do what? We hold to that confession. We don't waver in that confession. We don't confess it once, and then the next minute we're looking here and say, oh, that really hurts. What are you confessing? Oh, that really hurts. See, your confession changed. When your confession changed, it doesn't line up with your faith anymore. You understand? Then your faith can't come to perfection because your confession changed. Your works change. And the work in that particular case was simply a confession of the mouth. So you got to hold fast to that confession. And you got to, listen to me, you got to hold fast to that confession when it's the darkest moments in your life. Because it's the darkest moments in your life that the devil's pushing the hardest. Because you got to get this. Because if you give up, if you give in, there's nowhere else to go. Because you start confessing that stuff, it's going to start coming to pass. It's a law. And I know you don't want to hold fast. And I know you don't want to hold on. And I know you've been beaten up. And I know you got every right to quit, sense knowledge-wise. And you've been cheated, and it's unfair, and why you? I get all that. And I know that even believers do this to other believers sometimes. I get that too. But we got to be bigger than that. We got to fight for one another. You understand? And we got to fight so that the devil doesn't win. Because you and God make a majority, and if you don't give up, and if you keep confessing what the Word says, you line up your confession with your faith, it'll come to pass, sooner or later. See, being a bad boy, Kim, on Father's Day, my own son, being a bad boy, just whack him, honey. You can hit him too, Miss Bridget. We read in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You believe first. Believe that you'll receive them. Then it says, and you shall have them. If you pray and you don't believe you're going to get it because somebody says, well, I would learn somewhere that I should pray, so I'll just flip up a prayer. That's not going to work, right? It says that when we pray, believe that you've received them. You got it. Then you shall have them. And you shall have them. Faith has always corresponding actions. And your actions should cooperate with your faith. In other words, you get on the same page as God. Man's by man's actions, and this is really big if you get it, by man's actions, his faith is made perfect. By man's actions, his faith gets that which he wants, receives that which he prays for, receives that which he's believing for, receives that which he's staying in faith for. By his actions. You can't say one thing and then go do another. You know, I never really, about 4 years ago, I talked to you about be doers of the word and how great this is. I never really realized how big it is to be a doer of the word. When you're a doer of the word, your faith lines up with your works. You're doing something. Now, it's not about works. You don't work your way into God's grace. That's ridiculous. How can you work into grace? But what you do reflects what you think in your heart, right? And by that type of works, we put ourselves on the same page where we can receive from God. That doesn't mean that we have to abide in it for a while. Maybe sometimes. They marched around Jericho. How many times? Right? The priest walked up to the Jordan. And right to the very end. If it was me, as soon as I got them together and said, walk, I want to be seeing something like a tornado or something over the Jordan. The water was like, right to the very end. The Bible says, until the tips of their toes, their sandals, touched that water. Right? You couldn't get no more to the end, unless there was a shark there. But what did they do? They acted. And they stayed acted. Right? Is that a word? No. It is now. They stayed in action. They were faithful. They continued. They didn't. Their senses said what? Nothing happening. That's what their senses, and that's what the senses will always say. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's happening. You're going to look like a fool. And if you accept the testimony of the senses over the testimony of the word, you'll walk out of faith. It's one of the devil's tricks. They could see the water. It's not moving. They were walking around the building. Nothing's happening. But just when it needed to move and just when the walls needed to come down, was God there? Yeah. He was there. Because you know why? Because their works corresponded with their faith. And it brought it to perfection. What was the perfection in this case? The waters moved and the walls fell down. See it? It's a principle. You got to stay in it, though. We saw that the Greek word rendered perfect in James 2:22 is teleo. It means to bring to a close or fulfillment by an event. Well, what was the close or fulfillment by an event? The event was the walls came tumbling down. The event was the water separated. Take the same thing with Moses. You know, Moses got tired. He starts squawking to God, what do you want me to do now? God turned around and said, why are you telling me? You got a staff in your hand, hold it out, split the waters. He needed to take some what? Action. And he saw the salvation of the Lord. When we take action, the Lord will do the same for us. We saw that faith without works or action doesn't work. We also saw that faith with wrong corresponding actions won't work either. We saw that if we're going to ask God to increase our seed, we got to give God at least one seed to increase, right? You got to plant something, and that's in anything. We saw that if we confess God's word 1 minute and then the next minute we repudiate everything we say by our wrong actions, you know. We looked at self-delusion in believers in the church and we saw that they blame their failures on the devil or someone else or something when in reality they've deluded themselves because they're not a doer of the word. And it's real easy to blame everything on the devil. You know, because the devil's not going to come in here and defend himself. So, a lot of times we blame our laziness, our inability to act, our personal worldview, our personal prejudice, and we don't line ourselves up with the word And so we just say, oh, it's the devil's fault, or it's so-and-so's fault, or it's this church's fault, or it's that. See, we always have an excuse. The actions of a doer of God's word will coincide with his confessions. And we saw the doers of God's word can withstand the storms of life. Not hearers, it's not talkers, it's not people who mentally assent. Doers of God's word can withstand the storms of life. We saw that those who are foolish are likened unto people who do not do the word, and they build their house on the sand. And when the storms of life come, their house crumbles because they were not doers of the word. The foundation of rock was likened unto a man who was a doer of God's word. You had both, a foundation of sand and a foundation of rock. One was destroyed, one wasn't. Because the wise builder was a doer of God's word, the foolish one wasn't. We saw that it isn't the storms of life that defeat us. Because if the storms of life defeat us, we all be defeated, because storms of life come to everybody. We saw it's how we respond to the storms of life and the faith that we stay in. Those who are not defeated are those who act on God's word. We don't want to be defeated, especially in light of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. By faith, we grab hold of all that God has given to us in Christ, and we receive his blessings. By faith, we please God. By faith, our hearts are purified. By faith, we are sanctified. By faith, we live. By faith, we are righteous. By faith, we are justified. By faith, we have access to God. By faith, we stand. By faith, we walk. By faith, we are the children of God. By faith, we wait for the hope of righteousness. By faith, Christ dwells in our heart. By faith, we heal. By faith, we cast out demons. By faith, we walk on water. By faith, we offer. By faith, we are warned. By faith, we go. By faith, we bless. By faith, we choose. By faith, we forsake. By faith, we conquer. By faith, we perish not. By faith, the walls come down. By faith, we say unto our mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. By faith, we subdue kingdoms. By faith, we produce righteousness. By faith, we obtain promises. By faith, we stop the mouth of lions. By faith, we quench the violence of fire. By faith, we escape the edge of the sword. By faith, out of weakness, we are made strong. By faith, we wax valiant in fight. By faith, we turn to fight the armies of the aliens. And by faith, we obtain a good report. You see? But unless we are willing to take that faith and act upon God's word, we will never realize any of these great promises in our life. Because it's in the acting, it's in the doing of God's word that we place ourselves in a position where we can receive God's word. Faith is a big deal. Okay? I would have quoted you every verse in Scripture that I picked them from, but I figured if you're interested enough, you go back and find the verses in Scripture yourself. But they're right from the word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can grow in faith, stay in faith, walk in faith, and share our faith, Father, as we're established and rooted in it. Thanks for each person here. Thanks especially for the fathers. God bless them today, Father. God bless their wonderful wives who put up with the fathers even more. Amen to that. And Father, we thank you for a great day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.